In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from Anna Mattson, Vice President at Northern Trust, who specialises in market advocacy and innovation research. In this session, Anna gives us an introduction to cryptocurrencies by explaining what they are, how they've been developed over time, and why they are attracting so much attention. In particular, she explains some of the institutional interest and the adoption of crypto into investment portfolios. Anna also provides some of her own thoughts on what life might look like as crypto develops into its own asset class. She also explores the impact of regulatory frameworks and infrastructure that is required to support this emerging currency.
My name is Anna Mattson, and I'm a Vice President at Northern Trust, working in market advocacy and innovation research. My role involves looking into new and nascent technology, new asset classes, new market infrastructures, and from there, identifying opportunities to create future capability and services for Northern Trust clients. We also pair advocacy with innovation so that we're at the forefront of evolution of regulatory frameworks for new asset classes and infrastructures. And so we work closely with global regulators, industry groups, and think tanks to advocate and shape regulatory structures that allow for innovation. In addition, we do also work closely with strategic partners, including other banks and fintechs, and sometimes we find areas where we can collaborate to either build, buy, or partner to create capabilities and commercial opportunities. And I'll touch on one of those collaborations later on. It's a fantastically interesting job, and it's one that gives me some exposure to the world of blockchain and digital assets, including cryptocurrencies, and some of which I can hopefully share with you today. So for today's session, I am going to dive into cryptocurrency. I'll start with what they are, then what it's all about, why the interest, where have we come from, where are we now, and look at some of the institutional interest and adoption of crypto into investment portfolios. And I'll finish with some thoughts on what life might look like moving forward with regulatory frameworks and infrastructure that's popping up to support this asset class. So you will most likely be familiar with Bitcoin by now. So I'm not going to talk too much of the origins and fundamentals of this cryptocurrency. There's heaps available on a certain popular search engine if you're interested in the technical depth. But I am, however, interested in the evolution of the cryptocurrency ecosystem over the past few years and the increased adoption that we can evidence both through the growth of market capitalization, new entrants, and rise in interest from the institutional world. So let's start there. Cryptocurrency, it's the original digital asset made possible by blockchain technology. It uses cryptography as a means of security, operating through a distributed ledger. And most cryptocurrencies operate without the need for a central authority like a bank or a government. And now some specifics on cryptocurrencies, which might help you to understand how they work, is that they're stored in addresses, which are based on private key pairs or long alphanumeric codes. And anyone who knows the one private key corresponding to a given public key can move those funds. Now, it might help to think of the public key as like a mailbox or a post office box. Anyone can put assets into the box, but only the holder of the private key can remove or move around those assets. You've probably heard the saying that possession is 9/10 of the law, but with cryptocurrencies, possession of the private key is the law, since transfers are effectively irreversible. So if you possess the private key for an address, you can move the cryptocurrency. And that makes it look very much like a bearer asset. So historically, this nature of key storage has created a few challenges for cryptocurrencies. And this has led to the emergence of sophisticated custody solutions to safekeep private keys on behalf of investors today. And those institutional grade custody solutions are in turn gathering interest from institutional investors. So it's all interesting stuff. Now, some people have asked, are all cryptocurrencies the same? And the answer in short is no. There are over 18,000 different cryptocurrencies in circulation today, with more being added all the time. And that's more than all of the different fiat currencies globally. They've all got different characteristics. They're not necessarily obvious nor easily understood, to be fair. And these differences relate to things like security, anonymity, transaction validation methods, mining techniques, payment utility functions, price stability, volatility, and so on. So it can be complex. But if we try to bucket some of the cryptocurrency types together, so first you've got your standard traditional cryptos like Bitcoin and Ethereum, Litecoin, XRP, and so on. So those are cryptos where prices are driven by supply and demand together with market sentiment, which can be pretty volatile. So Bitcoin, as you may know, has a limited supply, and some coins such as Ethereum provide access to products and services, which are sometimes known as utility coins. And then in the second bucket, we can put stable coins. So those are cryptocurrencies where the price is designed to be pegged to something else. Another cryptocurrency or basket of cryptocurrencies, fiat money, or to exchange traded commodities like precious metals. Think of coins like Tether, USD Coin, even DM, formerly Facebook's Libra project, which is probably one you've all heard of. Now, that was intended to be structured as a stable coin backed by a reserve of various currencies and treasuries. Now, stable coins represent a huge opportunity for blockchain. They can act as a bridge between traditional and digital money to realize some of the benefits from that digital ecosystem. And they also aim to help manage the volatility in crypto asset prices. But they're only as stable as what their reserves are. Now, the last bucket is privacy coins. Privacy coins are a class of cryptocurrencies that power private and anonymous blockchain transactions, obscuring their origin and destination. Now, they're the dark side of cryptocurrency and the ones that would be a worry for any banking authorities and law enforcement. And they're ones certainly that Northern Trust is not involved in. So that's the type of cryptocurrencies. The other thing that you might have heard about is cryptocurrency mining, and that relates to how the transaction process works. It's how new transactions are added or validated in a public blockchain ledger. And so two main consensus mechanisms, and those are proof of work and proof of stake. So at a high level, it's how all the participants of the network agree on legitimate transactions and it avoids any double spending without the need for a central trusted authority sitting in the middle monitoring the issuance and supply of coins. So both these consensus mechanisms could end up being a very, very detailed technical discussion in their own right. So I'll leave that there for now and move on. But the second component to our talk today is where have we come from? Where are we now? So let's look at some of the institutional interest and adoption of crypto into investment portfolios. So why is there interest? And if I can put it simply, it's investment returns. At the time of recording this video, Bitcoin price is around $44,000. So for example, if you had invested $10,000 back in Bitcoin back in 2012, it would be worth around $88 million today. Now, that's an impressive return over the last 10 years. But it should be also noted that cryptocurrency prices are extremely volatile and are generally an unregulated asset class for the most part. So with returns like that, it's fairly unsurprising that while the market is currently dominated by retail investors, there's increasing demand from institutional investors to gain exposure to cryptocurrencies. And a couple more figures you might find interesting is that the total market capitalization of cryptocurrencies back in March 2019 was $130 billion, and only 3 years later has grown to around $2 trillion, with a large proportion of that rise being in the last 12 months. And late last year, the price of Bitcoin reached more than $65,000 for the first time. So yeah, $130 billion through to $2 trillion. So for now, Bitcoin is making up about 40% of that $2 trillion value. And the top 10 cryptocurrencies in terms of market capitalization make up nearly 80% of that total. So it helps put it in perspective when, as I mentioned earlier, there's thousands of different cryptocurrencies in circulation. So certainly at Northern Trust, we've been seeing the potential and observing growing interest in cryptocurrency from clients. But there are still barriers for institutional investors. And one is a lack of clarity around the regulatory environment, insufficient institutional support for execution and custody, and price volatility is another factor. at the moment, there's extreme price volatility and there's a varying price arbitrage between any of the exchanges and brokers that you'll see out there. That said, interest hasn't dropped off. There was a report last year from Fidelity where they said that 91% of their respondents who were open to exposure in digital assets expected to have allocated at least 0.5% of their portfolio to digital assets by around 2025. And in fact, across Europe and the US, they reported year-over-year growth in cryptocurrency, interest in cryptocurrency across nearly every category that they surveyed, from current exposure to digital assets to interest in future investment. And there's also interest from pension funds. And back last October, Houston Firefighters Pension Fund became the first public employee defined benefit plan to announce an investment in cryptocurrencies. They allocated around $25 million in cryptocurrency investment, or around 0.5% of the pension fund's total assets under management. And then another one was the Teacher Retirement System of Texas. They also announced last month that they intended to allocate cryptocurrencies into their portfolio. It's become an asset class they couldn't ignore. And there was a Forbes article not so long ago where they wrote that nothing indicates the ascendance of an asset in the financial system more than a pension fund investing in it. And that certainly backs up the trends that we're seeing. So for the last component of our talk, things are moving forward with both institutional infrastructure and regulatory frameworks to support the asset class and help remove some of the barriers. So clients are typically looking for institutional players to support them with things like trusted custody solutions for cryptocurrency. And that is something that Northern Trust has delivered on capability through Zodia Custody. So Zodia is an institutional grade crypto custodian that was established in collaboration with Standard Chartered Bank. And it was granted registration in the UK by the FCA last July. It's live with clients, currently supports Bitcoin and Ethereum, and new crypto assets being added in line with sort of client demand and risk profiles. So Zodia does operate as a separate entity, and it puts it in a unique position of being able to combine sort of traditional custody principles and expertise of both Northern Trust and Standard Chartered Bank, and the agility of a fintech company. So with cryptocurrency markets and frameworks evolving so rapidly, we saw benefit in being able to quickly adapt and grow with it. So another stepping stone to industry adoption of crypto is fund administration and accounting. So we often find that clients, especially fund clients, are not looking for crypto custody solutions in isolation. And Northern Trust has actually been supporting admin for both Bitcoin and Ethereum-based funds for nearly 2 years through our Hedge Fund Solutions Group. And now through our Global Fund Services Group, they're also supporting a Bitcoin-based exchange-traded product. And that solution involved integrating with Zodia for custody, with other authorized participants and execution agents, and tweaking the fund admin model to deal with some of the intricacies of cryptocurrency. So it's worth pointing out that one of those intricacies is decimal places. It seems a small thing, but for anyone who's involved with finance, technology and systems might know that most standard accounting systems are only deal with between 4 to 6 decimal places with limited flexibility. But Bitcoin's got 8 decimal places, Ethereum has 18, any ERC-20 type token has 18 decimal places as well. Not to mention how that might grow again in future. So prices are also an interesting challenge. And I mentioned earlier the volatility in cryptocurrency prices and significant price arbitrage, all to take into consideration. So with both of those things, we've observed that there's been an increase in the number of client inquiries. We're also seeing more financial institutions getting involved in similar crypto asset services. And the final piece that is contributing to what life might look like going forward is the regulatory frameworks. And for the most part, cryptocurrency is unregulated, but regulatory frameworks are making progress. There's not yet a common global regulatory framework or taxonomy, and it's interpreted in different markets as different instruments. So depending where you are, it can be considered a commodity or money or property and so on. So now, again, this topic is vast and fragmented, but just to touch on a few key regions that are working on their regulation frameworks. So in Europe, there's a proposed regulation for markets and crypto assets, or MiCA, and that's currently being negotiated with a final version expected later this year. Now, MiCA applies to all crypto assets that are not currently covered under existing financial services legislation, and it establishes uniform rules for issuers of crypto assets, as well as for crypto asset service providers. Now, in the UK, cryptocurrency currently operates under an anti-money laundering directive and a registration of service providers, so rather than a license regime. And then over in the US, crypto governance is state by state, but they diverge wildly from California, where it's pretty open for crypto, through to New York State, where there's a full bit license requirement that applies to provide services around crypto assets to anyone in New York State, regardless of where the service is based. And the US also has federal regulators responsible for different aspects of the banking system. Got the Fed, the OCC, the SEC, and so on. So while there's no federal definition of cryptocurrency has been agreed, it's not clear whose responsibility it is to regulate. But there is progress there as well. So only last week, President Biden issued an executive order that calls for a series of interagency reports that are focused on digital assets, including cryptocurrency. Now, the main highlights from that executive order are that consumer protection, risk mitigation are emphasized, including addressing gaps in oversight and alignment with global regulators. And this should also mean long-awaited clarity around the primary regulator of this marketplace. So regulators globally are at different stages of developing regulatory frameworks for cryptocurrencies. But ultimately, we expect to see cryptocurrency come under mainstream regulatory framework within the next 5 years. We do believe that regulation, which is informed by industry insights, will drive adoption of cryptocurrencies by institutional investors. So, to recap, we've touched on cryptocurrency as the original digital asset enabled by blockchain technology, a few of the different types of cryptocurrencies and buckets, and some of the numbers that are involved in that growing marketplace and institutional adoption. And we finished up with just a couple of institutional-led capabilities to support cryptocurrency as an asset class and regulatory frameworks, how those are developing. So from my side, it's an interesting topic, an asset class with increasing interest from institutional investors. And it's an asset class that isn't going away. And I want to thank you all for listening to me today. I hope you've got something interesting from it too.
Anna, thank you so much for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Anna, you can connect with her via LinkedIn. Please do subscribe and rate the podcast and give it that all-important 5-star review. And please keep listening every Wednesday for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.